We're going to turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and we'll read in verses 25 through 32 there. It says, "And now behold, I know that y'all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." And we'll stop there and look once again to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again this evening for, especially for Jesus and the salvation that you have wrought for us in him. Father, we are thankful that you are a personal God, that you come and that you meet with us in a very particular and individual way. Father, that you, those of us that are saved this evening, that you drew us out of our own darkness, out of our own sin, that you brought us under your marvelous light. And Father, we know that without that light, we couldn't see, we couldn't understand, we couldn't rejoice in the scriptures, we wouldn't know church truth, we wouldn't be able to enjoy the fellowship and joy of all these things. And Father, we just pray this evening you'd be pleased to shed a little more light on your word and remind us, Father, of the things that we've heard, and help us, Father, to apply the word to our lives. Pray that you'd help me, and once again forgive me for the many shortcomings that I have, Lord, and in spite of me, that you'd take your word, that you'd apply it to each and every heart, that you'd give us all the things we need tonight from you. And we ask for these things, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the thought we want to bring out from these scriptures is that of taking heed to all the counsel of God. Obviously, we know that Paul, certainly in a missionary relationship, he had that sort of relationship with the church at Ephesus and with the elders there at Ephesus, and he had called the elders of Ephesus there, and he was he was giving them kind of his final address to them, and reminding them of the things he'd taught them, and how that he hadn't held anything back, that there was nothing that he hadn't given to them from the Word of God, and now it was in their court, so to speak. Now, I've given you everything I can, I've given you the Word, now you've got to take this Word, and you've got to apply it, and you've got to live by it. And so he was, really charging them with those things. But we want to make the application, if the Lord be pleased, to each and every time we come to church, each and every message we hear, every time we hear, our pastor get up and preach the Word of God to us, it's the same sort of a thing. It's the same sort of thing. He's giving us the counsel of God's Word, and he's presenting it to us, and now we've got to do something with it. We've got to take that Word, we've got to apply it to our lives, we've got to use it in our lives or not. And every time we hear a message, we are responsible for what we do with that message. But taking heed to all the counsel of God. Many spiritual errors and consequently much heartache and sorrow could be avoided if we took heed to all the counsel of God rather than picking and choosing only what suited us at the time. That's a lot of times is our problem is we take kind of what we want, out of the message or here or there, but the things that we don't really want, we just kind of like, we'll leave that for another day. But we would spare ourselves a lot of grief if we would take heed to all the counsel of God. That's what he says here in verse 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." But we need to take heed to those things. Verse 27. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." I haven't left anything out. As you go through the Bible, as the Bible is taught to you, those things are a kind of a systematic doctrine, and they're being taught. Those things haven't been left out, and so we need to apply the Word of God. But number one, then, it's not the preacher's fault if you bleed. Now, I get that thought from verses 25 through 27 there. It says, And now behold, I know that y'all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So the preacher preaches the message. And therefore, the result of that message, if you don't listen to that message, if you don't apply it to your life, and the consequences come to you because you didn't listen, because you ignored it, because you didn't care, because you didn't believe it, when it comes at a time when it hurts, it's not the pastor's fault. You know, he was faithful. He gave you the word. He taught you the truth. But you didn't apply it. And so it's not the pastor's fault if you bleed. Paul could say that he was free from their blood because he had been faithful to declare unto them all of God's counsel. In other words, he would not be held responsible by God for their neglect, but because he had not neglected to warn them. And Ezekiel chapter 33. You know, there is that saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know, the preacher can tell you, he can tell you the truth of God's word, but he can't make you take it in. He can't make you apply it to your life. But his job isn't to make you drink. You know, his job is to present it to you and say, here it is. This is the good way. This is what will be good for you in your life, and this is what will bless your life. But if you don't apply it, to your life, if you ignore it, what more can he do? He's given you the word of God, and then it's up to you to put it into practice in your life. But Ezekiel 33 and verses 1 through 7 there. It says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So Paul was saying, I'm free from this. I have warned you. I've given you the word of God. I've told you what you need. And so when the pain comes, it isn't the pastor's fault. And so you need to remember that. Another thought that kind of goes along with that, if you make your pastor sad, you know, that's bad for you. And you realize, do you realize that? I hope you realize that about your pastor. That he's not some, he's not out to make your life miserable. He's preaching things that are good for you. He's preaching things because he loves you. He's preaching things that are going to help you and bless your life. And he does that because he loves you. And no doubt he prays for you and weeps over you. And because he knows what's coming to you if you don't listen. He knows what's on the way if you won't listen to the word of God. He knows what's coming. He's blowing the trumpet. He's saying trouble is on the way. And you need to hear. You need to hear what the word of God says. And he does that because he loves you. And because he loves you, he prays for you. And he weeps for you. And he spends time in the Lord seeking the message that God would have to bring. So you need to realize that. But if you make him sad, that's not good for you. That's not good for you. But Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Do you realize that your pastor, again, he's not being a big bully. You know, if he's pointing out something in your life that you need to get right, it's not because, it's because he cares for you. He's watching for your soul. He says, he knows that that's not good. He knows that that's going to end bad. And so he's watching for your soul. But it says, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. So, Brother Dan's going to have to give account one day of all the churches he's pastored. I'll have to give account one day of all the churches and people I've pastored. And I'm going to have to give account of the way that I pastored them. And there are going to be some accounts that I give with grief because I have to, give account of those that just wouldn't take heed, those that just, did their own thing and they wouldn't listen to the word of God. And I'm going to do that with grief. And Brother Dan is going to do that with grief. But you know what? That's going to be very unprofitable for the ones he has to grieve over and give account in that way. It's not good if you make your pastor sad. If your pastor is faithful to declare unto you all of God's counsel, and he doesn't shun away from subjects that are uncomfortable to preach, or for anyone's sake, he just preaches the Word of God, don't blame him when the bleeding starts. There will come a time when the pastor's pleading will be replaced by your bleeding. He pleads for you, and he prays for you, and he's watching for your soul, and the Lord has given him messages for you. But if you don't take heed, it's not his fault when the bleeding starts. Second thing, then, take heed for your own sake and for those that God has put in your care. Verses 28 through 31 there in Acts 20. Acts 20 and verse 28 says, take heed, therefore. Consider, apply, put into practice the things that I've taught you. I've not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God, it says in verse 27. Take heed, therefore. It isn't just about listening and say, yep, that sounds good, but it's about applying it. It's about putting it into practice in our lives. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. But take heed for your own sake and for those God has put in your care. Obviously he's addressing the pastors, the elders there at Ephesus, and he's saying to them, take heed unto yourselves. You need to apply the Word of God to yourself. You need to receive the nourishment yourself of the Word of God. But also, into all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. You need to take heed to the Word of God. But pastors are charged to apply the warnings and the nourishment of God's Word to themselves and to the church God has placed them over. But this very easily can be applied to any who are placed in a position of leadership. I mean, to me, moms and dads, you need to take heed to the Word of God, and you need to apply it to your family, to your home, to your children. You need to apply that Word of God to yourself and then to your children. Those are the ones that God has placed in your care, and you need to apply the Word of God in that way. Any place in a position of leadership easily can be applied to dads and moms and their children. You need to take heed to yourself and your family. You need to realize, moms and dads need to realize how much their life affects their children. How much their example affects their children. If you're setting a bad example for your children, of course they're going to follow it. Of course it's going to have consequences in their lives. We need to take heed ourselves. We need to set a good example. We can't just say, hey, the Bible says this, and we ought to do this, but we're going to do this. That's not going to work. We've got to take heed for ourselves. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. So we've got to put it into application, as parents, into our own lives before we expect our children are going to, hear the things that we have to say. If we don't apply it to ourselves, we're going to go astray and we're going to take our children with us. We need to be very careful. Again, we mentioned priorities today about prioritizing our lives and going kind of on a budget and how that, we need to set those priorities. One of the priorities we need to set in the lives of our children is the importance of being in church every time the doors are open. The importance of reading our Bibles, the importance of prayer, the importance of seeking the Lord and putting Him first in our lives. We have got to make that application. We have got to apply that. We have got to set that example for our children. It can't be we can't be wishy-washy, and expect our children to be in church when, we have set this example in our lives, just for example. One of the things that seems to come up is, sports or something like that, and there are some kind of program that, and how is it that it's always on Wednesday? And how is practice always on Sunday? And how are all these things for kids on those days? But doesn't it seem like that that happens, you know, that takes place. And then, you know, and then you start skipping out on Wednesday because you got practice or you got a game, or you got this or that. You know, you're setting a bad example. And that's the wrong example. You're prioritizing. You're saying, yeah, you know, church is the most important thing. God's number one, except when, you know, baseball season's around or basketball season's around or this sport or that sport. You know, other than that, God's number one. But, you know, then we can skip out on Wednesdays or Sunday evenings or, you know, whatever. And you know that happens. I mean, that happens all the time. But we need to set our priorities. We need to take heed and be that example. We can't just say this is right without applying it to ourselves. So take heed, therefore, unto ourselves. And we need to realize how that's going to affect our children. Verse 29 there in Acts 20, it says, "For I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." But pastors know what's coming. They spend their time in the Word of God. They spend their time involved with the lives of churches and people. They see what happens when people don't take heed to the Word of God. They know what's coming. They've seen it again and again and again and again. You know, it says that, in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. A pastor who has pastored for any length of time, he's seen it before. He's seen it before. He's seen the pattern before. He's seen the things that come into people's lives and what it does to their lives. He knows the end of that thing. So you need to listen. You need to listen to what he's saying because he knows the end. He knows that what happens if you keep going down that road. He knows that it's a road of destruction, of ruin. He knows where it goes. He's seen it again and again and again. You need to listen. You need to listen. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." But pastors know what's coming. Paul knew specifically, but all God-called pastors know what comes to those who don't pay attention to the Word of God. Grievous wolves are coming to enter your flock, to rip and tear and devour your little lambs. And what are you going to do to stop them if you won't take heed to the Word of God? What are you going to do when it comes? And you haven't taken heed to the Word of God, and you haven't applied it to your life. What are you going to do when it comes? You haven't listened. You've put the Word of God away from your life, and you've went the way you wanted to go. What do you think is going to happen? But listen, bad things are there is a road. You know, Jesus described a broad way and a narrow way. You know, you can go down the broad way, but the end of that's destruction, isn't it? And there's a whole lot of paths in life that you can get down that way. You don't want to go that way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's so many things that just seem really good and right and fun and pleasurable to the flesh, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's all kinds of problems down there. And your pastor has seen it again and again and again and again. He's seen it. He's seen the same patterns, of going away from the Lord. He knows what backsliding looks like. He knows what worldliness looks like. He knows what sin in your life looks like. He knows the pattern of those things. He's seen it again and again and again and again. And you need to take heed. You need to listen. You need to listen to what your pastor has been telling you because he knows the end. He knows that trouble's on its way. Verse 30 there, it says, "And also of your own selves." Did you know that your own worst enemy is yourself to your Christian walk and the race that God's given you to run? It's not so-and-so or somebody else. It's this guy right here. He's your own worst enemy. Or he or she's your own worst enemy. That's the one that causes you your biggest problems. It's yourself. But it says in verse 30, "And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." He's speaking to the pastors. He's speaking to the elders. He says there's going to be grievous wolves entering among you. And even among you, there's going to be some rise up, and they're going to lead away disciples. They're going to draw away disciples after them. And that's going to come of you. And he's saying, "I'm warning you, pay attention, take heed to yourselves, because in you there is this potential to go astray. There is this potential to get off into heresy and to drag a bunch of people off with you. You need to pay attention and take heed to yourself." But the devil has no problem leading pastors astray who won't take heed. I mean, how many pastors have you heard of that get off on, out into some crazy thing, And here they go, and they take off a bunch of disciples with them. And the devil has no problem leading pastors astray who don't take heed. Where do you think he's going to take you and your family who won't heed the Word of God, who won't listen to the Word of God, who won't apply it to their lives, who keep ignoring that message, who keep ignoring that the Holy Spirit convicting them of that same thing again and again and again, that thing in their life that's causing them to go away from the Lord again and again and again. What do you think? Where do you think that's going to lead you? It's going to lead you away. It's going to lead you away from the Lord. But you need to take heed. Take heed to the Word of God. Apply it to your life. Verse 31, it says, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." But watch for and remember your pastor's warnings and tears. Watch for and remember. Watch. Be looking for the things your pastor said would come, because they will come. If he has preached to you from the Word of God, and he has shown you, what is the end, of this path or this course from the Word of God, you can be sure that it's on its way. If you won't turn from those things, you can be sure that it's on its way to you. And watch for it. You watch for it because it's on its way. Be looking for the things your pastor said would come, because they will come. Be aware. Be on guard, or else they will catch you off guard. Don't let the things... How sad it is to sit in church week after week after week and then be surprised when calamity comes, when we haven't been paying attention to the Word of God. We ought not to be surprised. We've been warned again and again and again and again and again that it's on its way. Watch. We need to be paying attention that those things are coming. Those kind of problems are coming if we've not been taking heed to the Word of God. And remember. Remember that your pastor warned you with tears. But sadly, there are always some who remember too late. They remember when it's too late. When the pain comes, oh, I wish I would have listened. Oh, I wish I would have took heed to the Word of God. But it's too late. It's already come. The pain's come now. I mean, sure, you can repent then and go back. But boy, if you'd stop now before you get there, it'd be so much better. Stop before you get to that part. Before you get to that misery and that pain and that destruction and all the problems and all the scars that you're going to carry for the rest of your life because you just didn't believe it. You just didn't take heed to what the Word of God said. You would rather just test this thing out for ourselves and see what the end of this is. And then you'll remember too late. You'll remember when the hurting starts and when all the pain and all the problems and all the difficulty and you begin to reap all the things you've sown. You don't want to remember that. You need to leave off that course now and take heed to the Word of God. But one day, those who did not heed the counsel of God and the warnings of their pastor shall understand very well why the pastor wept on their behalf. Because they shall weep for themselves and for their children and for the loss of many blessings. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 and verses 7 and 8. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You're not going to get away with anything with God. If you've been sowing to your flesh, then you're going to reap that. You've been sowing to spiritual things, you're going to reap that. It says in verse 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." But you can be certain that God's not mocked. And you can be certain that everything that you do in your life is like sowing seeds. You're sowing seeds. You're either sowing seeds to the flesh and they're going to bring forth a harvest of corruption, or you're sowing seeds to the Spirit and they're going to bring forth a harvest into everlasting life. But you can be certain that the Bible says your sin will find you out. You're sowing seeds. And the thing about seeds is when you plant one seed, it brings forth a whole bunch more seeds, a whole bunch more fruit. And so there's going to be a whole lot more problems than you bargained for if you continue down a road of disobedience, a road of not heeding the Word of God, of not applying the Word of God to your life, of thinking, that's just old-fashioned, or that's just, that's just what the preacher says. No, listen, if it's out of the Word of God, then you need to take heed. You need to apply it to your lives. But you can be sure that there will be a time of reaping. There is going to be a time when those things come back, and we have to receive the fruit of the things that we've sown. Ultimately, though, it's between you and God. In verse 32, it says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." At the end of every message, that there it is. Now you've got to take the word of God and apply it to your own life. "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." At the end of every message, the preacher knows that some will heed the counsel and warning of God's word, and others, by ignoring the message, will be the unhappy fulfillment of the things which he warned would happen. There's going to be people that fulfill the scriptures in a very unpleasant and unhappy way. They're going to be the fulfillment of the warning, the things that the word of God said, this will come. And that they're going to be the fulfillment of it, and they're going to experience the things that the word of God said were going to come to them. The problems, the difficulty, the destruction, and all the misery that's going to come, they're going to fulfill it. And at the end of every message, the preacher knows that some are going to be the unhappy fulfillment. Some are going to heed. Some, by taking heed, will save themselves from the grievous wolves that try to enter in, and from the errors of their own hearts that threaten to lead them astray. But others will be a bleeding, trembling flock, the hide ripped from the bodies of shocked survivors, the carcasses of little lambs, some slain and some stolen, a vivid reminder of the warnings and tears that they would not heed. But God and his word are your only hope. And that's what it boils down to. It's not about the pastor. He's just bringing you the message. He's bringing you the word of God, and he's presenting it to you as a warning from God himself. And he's saying, take heed to this word, because this is what we need. These are the things that will save us from all the destruction that we would get ourselves into if we don't take heed. But the word of God, that is our hope. At the end of every message or ministry, as was in the case of Paul, it's up to you to live by it or not. I mean, that's what it boils down to. And I'll listen to some of the Sunday school lessons from Brother Dan, and he'll always say, he says that quite often, that it's, basically it's, you've got to do something with every message, and you've got to do something with it. And that's just so true. You've got to take heed to it. You've got to apply it. Once the message has been preached, the blood of that message, so to speak, or the warning, then is placed to the hearer. Now they've got to do something with it. Either you're going to apply it, or you're not. And there certainly is a blessing for those that apply the word of God, that live by it. That's what the Bible's for. It isn't just a religious book, a stuff to know. It's a book of life. It's a book to live by. It's a book to apply. And we take the word of God and we learn it to live by it. We don't just learn it to know it. We learn it to live by it. And we need to apply this book. It's meant to be applied to our lives. It'll save us from so many things. Not only from, the eternal condemnation of sin. It'll save us from a life of destruction. If we'll take heed to the word of God and we'll apply it. It says there in Psalm 1, blessed is the man. The one that he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. His leaf also shall not wither, and he'll bear his fruit in season. Why does all that happen? It's not a magic formula. It's because he loves the word of God and he lives by the word of God and he applies the word of God to his life. It's a book that's made to be applied. Every message isn't made to be either amened or rejected. It's made to be heeded and applied to our lives. We need to apply the word of God. And if we do that, there's a blessing. And if we don't, the warnings of the word are going to come to us. And when unfortunately we're going to experience the unhappy results of not heeding the word of God. But make no mistake, the word of God is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with God, it says there in verse 32. "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." That's what the word of God is supposed to do. You're built up with it. But you're not going to be built up with it if you leave it at church. You've got to take it home. You've got to apply it to your lives. And you know what? That's going to build you up. It's going to be built into you and built in your life, and you're going to have a happy and blessed life. But if you leave it at church, you're not going to be built up with it, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified. So hear the Word of God. Apply it to your life, because there are tremendous blessings for those that apply the Word of God, but there are also tremendous problems and difficulties and hardships awaiting those that will not apply the Word of God. So in conclusion, Paul did everything he could to prepare the church and the pastors of Ephesus for the spiritual battles they would soon face. You know, we're all going to face spiritual battles. But we need to take the Word of God with us. That's the thing that's how we're going to survive it. That's how we're going to make it through it. It's with the Word of God. But ultimately, he had to surrender them to the care of God, because if they were going to stand, they would have to stand on their own faith of God's Word, their own faith. You know, that's one thing that it's one of the hardest things sometimes for a pastor. He wants to help and hold up and prop up as much as he can. But there comes a time when he has to see if they can stand. He has to see if they'll stand in their own faith. He can't hold them up, and he can't hold their hand forever. If it's real, if it's a real work of God, they'll stand on their own. If the faith is real, they'll be able to stand. Sometimes it's one of the harder things he has to do is let them stand or fall on their own. Sometimes the pastor's got to let them fall. That's a hard thing to do as a pastor. He knows they're going to fall. He's warned them. He's pleaded with them. He's prayed for them. He's done what he can. Sometimes he has to watch and let them fall. And hopefully, you know, if the Lord's in it, maybe he'll be able to help pick up the pieces. Ultimately, we've got to stand on our own. Can you stand on your own? You can't be built up in the pastor's faith. You've got to be built up in your own faith. You've got to hold the Word of God yourself. He preaches to you, and now you've got to do something with it. You've got to apply. And if you don't, what else can he do? What more can he do for you? He's given you the Word of God, and he's done so faithfully. What more can he do if you will not heed the Word of God? And so, today I know that there will be many battles that are sure to come to each of us, to our families, to our churches. But our only hope is to heed the counsel of God, and thereby receive the communication of God's all-sufficient grace and faith and obedience to stand in His Word. But we need to take heed. Your pastor is faithful to preach the Word of God to you. You need to take that Word and apply it to your life. But we'll stop with that and turn the service back over to Brother Larry.